Hi, and welcome back to Give Us Morg. I'm Neve.
I'm Megan.
And we are recording this story for the second time.
Because I lost the file.
I mean, it was meant to happen at some stage. We did pretty well to get this far.
Yeah, true.
So if Megan doesn't sound as shocked about the story, it's because she has heard it before.
I'm actually going to keep quiet for a lot on this one. First of all, because I have a drink in my hand. And secondly, because. Yeah.
We obviously, COVID happened, so we're not getting out anywhere. So we're having like a tiny little mini Christmas party right here. So we're getting lit to fuck because we record this.
Let's get some pussy tonight.
Oh my.
Do you remember Filthy Frank?
No.
I was on just YouTube?
That's what Niall and Kotler opened. We're like, good one.
You're funny.
Good one. I love it when you joke.
You're so cute.
You're so cute. Good night.
Literally.
Today I'm going to be telling you all about Richard Ramirez.
What? Shocker.
A.K.A. the Night Stalker.
What?
This is the first time I've ever heard this. Yeah, so I guess I'll just jump right on in.
Belt into it, girl.
Belt in. Ricardo Levea Munoz Ramirez. I really hope I said that right. He was born in El Paso, Texas on the 29th of February, 1960. Leap year.
He was born. Oh, yeah. You know, we said this in the first round. I said, was he born on a leap year? Does that mean he's really only like 10? And then you were like...
Lol, yeah.
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 You missed it, guys. It was hilarious.
Too bad you'll never hear it. Anyway. Yeah, he was born on a leap year. He was the youngest of five. His parents were Julian and Mercedes. I was going to try say it like... Because obviously, like, they have the ticks and stuff. I know it's not... I don't...
We call them, like, a fada.
Yeah, we call them fadas, but... But I was like, no, I might sound like a... being rude.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like that.
Okay.
So, his father was prone to fits of anger that would more often than not result in physical abuse. He was known as Richie to his family and friends. And as a child, Richard... suffered two head traumas.
Ooh, you know what they say about head traumas.
Oh, yeah. And, like, one is where he hit the locker, like a bedside locker. And he needed, like, a ridiculous amount of stitches after it. I feel like he needed, like, 34 stitches or something. No, probably more than that. I knew the first time, right? But it's been a couple of weeks, so I kind of forget. But he needed a shit ton of stitches, right, like, after that. And then I think the second time he, like, fell down the stairs or some shit. So, when Richard was 12, he was extremely influenced by his older cousin, Miguel.
Oh, Miguel. I remember him.
Yeah. He was a decorated U.S. Army combat veteran. And he would regularly boast about the things that he saw and he'd done over in the Vietnam War. When Miguel came home, he would share photos of his victims, including pictures of women who he had raped and decapitated to Richard. Like, he would show 12-year-old Richard these photos.
Vile.
I feel like Richard was just like a crockpot. Oh my god, I was like...
He is a crockpot.
He is a crockpot. But... he was like a crockpot of like anything. Do you know the way like serial killers, they always have something. Like they always either have like head trauma or like there's someone in the household that was abusive or there was someone in the household that showed them how to be. He had it all.
There's like a triad to go by, I think. So you can go by head trauma, bedwetting and animal torture.
Animal cruelty.
Yeah. Animal cruelty. And I think if you have two or more...
you're like
likely to be a psychopath or something.
Oh, well, then he had like far more, so
he's got it all.
He really does. Richard would smoke marijuana, which would help with his seizures from his head trauma.
Okay.
He kind of outgrew the seizures as he got older, so it wasn't... well, that's because he was on like a shit ton of drugs, so that's probably why. But and this is like how he and Miguel bonded. Miguel taught Richard military styles and like stuff, like how to stealth stalk someone and how to like sneak up on your prey and kill them.
Ew, hate that.
This is what he was teaching a 12-year-old. Like, Richard is an absolute asshole, but at this moment in time, he's an 12. Innocent 12-year-old, and this is what he's being taught.
What the fuck?
Right? Richard would often sleep in cemeteries around this time to get away from the abusive household. Oh. Because the father was so abusive.
Yeah.
He would sneak out and sleep in a cemetery, which is actually really sad.
Yeah. You like, kind of think, like, poor little baby, if you didn't know what he was going to grow into.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh my god, that poor kid.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have it written down here, but as well as that, Richard's mother, when she was pregnant with, not just him, all five of her kids, she worked in, like, a factory.
Yeah.
That produced extremely highly dangerous chemicals.
Oh.
That, like, she was mass inducing every day during her shifts.
Oh, Mercedes.
Mercedes.
I hate that. I'm very sorry you had to go through that.
I mean, that has to be tough. Because, like, the husband...
You have to get money in, too. Like, yeah. You have to.
Like, and the husband was really abusive. So, like... Like, I do feel sorry for her. Her son grew up to be an absolute dickhead. And when Richard got caught, the father was like, I don't know why he did this.
Don't know where he'd pick up the violence part from. No idea.
No idea. On the 4th of May, 1973, Richard is 13 at this stage. Miguel fakely shot his wife, Jessie, in the face with a .38 caliber revolver during an argument. And Richard was there and witnessed the whole
Jesus
thing.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. She died, like, pretty much instantly. I think he, like, shot her in the eye or something.
Oy.
Really, like, violent. Miguel was found criminally insane and actually only served 4 years for that crime.
Yeah, I think I said this in the first one, too.
Yeah.
That's a fucking disgrace.
Yeah. I think he, like, claimed some bullshit, like, oh, PTSD. But, like, I'm not saying, like, PTSD is not bullshit. I'm just saying he used it to his advantage. I was in the war.
If you have PTSD, are you going to sit down and, like, look back on the fond memories you have of raping and decapitating women?
Literally. Like, come on. Come.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving swiftly on. He continued to stay in touch with Richard all throughout Richard's killing spree.
Oh.
So after that, at the age of 13, Richard moved in with his sister Ruth and her husband. And Ruth's husband was actually a well-known peeping Tom, and he would take Richard with him.
Ew.
He'd be like, come on, son, let's go.
But, like, what if, like, what if you have a peeping Tom when you have a cold or something like that, and you're, like, snotting all over yourself? Are they looking in your window like, oh, fuck yeah.
Not with me, they're not. They're like, oh, God, please.
Calling the police on you, like...
My eyes. I think I'm permanently blind.
You know that episode of Family Guy where the house is getting robbed and Meg goes downstairs and tries to, like, seduce the robbers?
He's like, oh god.
Like, no, please, no, take anything you want.
That's me. Richard's brother-in-law was also a massive drug addict, and he got Richard into things like LSD, and then Richard turned to Satanism, which I think I said as well, like, it's people like him that actually put Satanism in a bad light.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to do what they do and be left the fuck alone. And what they do actually isn't that harmless.
I seen a quote actually on Twitter today.
Yeah.
And it was like, Jesus asks you to believe in him. Satan asks you to believe in yourself. But it was like an ad for Jesus. And it was like, what?
I would much prefer to believe in myself.
Yeah, Satan sounds like a fucking cool dude.
Yeah, Satan's just like, you do you, boo.
Satan is like down in hell right now, like, what's up, bro?
Thanks for the shout. And God's like, I will smite you too.
That, no, we're not talking shit in religion, we're just talking fun.
Yeah, no, that's just a joke. But I do, and I'm not, like, your religion's your religion, but it is people like Richard Ramirez that make Satanism out to be so horrible.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually like not. Yeah, and Pazuzu as well.
Yeah.
Like, Satanism, like, they just want to do their rituals that don't involve sacrifice.
Yeah.
And they just want to, like, you know, shit ton of BDSM sex.
Yeah, orgies.
Orgies.
Fucking orgies, man.
That's all they really want in life.
Mm.
And then there's people like Richard Ramirez and Pazuzu that are like, oh, we have to kill everybody because Satan said so.
Oh my god, do you remember Rod Ferrell? Rod Ferrell, the vampire.
Oh my god, yes.
And he was like, oh god, yeah, I'm so gonna have to, like, sacrifice your baby to Satan because it'd be, like, the ultimate gift.
And Satan's like, please don't.
Yeah, Satan's like, geez, dude.
Jesus. Let's go have an orgy or something. Go get some. At 16, Richard got a job at a local Holiday Inn.
What?
he would use pass keys to rob guests. And in one case, he broke into a room and he actually tried to rape a woman as she came out of the bathroom. But her husband actually came back to the room. Like, so Richard was watching and he seen the husband leave. And he thought the husband was, like, going down to the bar.
Mm.
The husband, I think, was only going to get, like, ice or a bottle of wine or something to bring back up to the room.
Yeah.
So he, like, snuck into the room. Like, the woman was, like, you know, taking off her makeup or whatever in the bathroom. So she came out. Richard was like, rah, me. And then the husband came in and was like, what the fuck? And he actually stopped Richard. He beat Richard senseless.
Yes. Beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Won't be the last.
The couple were from out of state and they didn't actually return for the trial. Mm. So the charges were dropped against him because they were like, he didn't actually do anything. If anything, I beat him half to death. So I'm just not going to go back.
Yeah.
I got my revenge. Mm. Cool. Which, I mean, I get, but also.
If you're going to beat someone up, I mean, someone like Richard, like, don't stop.
Just keep going.
It's
fine.
Yeah.
Make out that he was going to kill you. It's fine.
It's fine.
We'll all believe you. No, don't do that.
Don't do that. Bad advice from Give Us Morg.
Yeah. Richard eventually dropped out of high school. And some friends of Richard came to El Paso from California to, like, hang out and visit and whatever. And when they were going back, Richard decided to follow them. So, yeah. He would sleep in cars and he became very handy at stealing them. He was known for, like, sleeping in Skid Row. That's where he, like, mostly hung out and slept and that. So that's what he did. One of his closest friends, in an interview, said that, quote, "We see him at St. Pablo at least once a month. He'd do his laundry and he'd stay the day. He dressed in dark clothes, always dark clothes. He liked to eat junk food and yogurt, Pepsi and banana splits. He never brushed his teeth. He carried a backpack and a small satchel. He had his clothes and vitamins and tapes in them. He always carried a Walkman tape player and wore a black baseball cap."
Love that he takes vitamins, but he doesn't brush his teeth.
Yeah. He had that, what's it called? Halitosis?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had that.
I'd say, like, to me, I'd imagine they were like football pitches with all the fur.
Oh, nasty. But yes, he did take his vitamins. Can't forget that. That's most important. So I'm about to get into his murders, which are extremely violent.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay quiet throughout.
Because they are extremely violent.
Yeah.
And some of them are especially hard to hear. There's mention of children, older women. He basically didn't really have a type.
Yeah. For lack of a better word. Do you have any other warnings to say or anything?
Look, without, like, giving away, because obviously some people are really into it, some of them are horrifically violent and sexual, and some of them are towards children. So if any of that is too rough for you, please turn away.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into it, we're going to take a quick ad break.
Yes.
And we're back.
Hi.
Did you like that?
Oh. We're getting lit in here with our bonkies.
Okay, let's get down to the dirty.
Yes. So this crime isn't fully accounted to him, but they do reckon it was his first. So on the 10th of April 1984, Richard killed a 9-year-old Mei Lung in the basement of a hotel. He raped and beat the young girl and then stabbed her and then hung her body from a pipe. The police didn't know who was responsible for a very, very long time until 2009 when they were able to link Richard with DNA. Now, there was a second DNA sample, but the police have not yet identified who it belongs to. There is theories that it may have possibly belonged to Miguel.
I can see that.
Yeah. Then on the 28th of June, 1984, Richard broke into the home of Jenny Vincow, a 79-year-old woman. She was found in her apartment with several stab wounds and her throat was so badly cut that she was actually almost decapitated. After he killed Jenny, he actually had sex with her body.
I'm trying so hard to stay quiet, but Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. The police did find Richard's fingerprints on mesh screen he had removed to get in through the window. But obviously, like, it's 1984 and it's his first known crime, so they actually had no fingerprint to match it to.
Mm.
On the 26th of February, 1985, Richard kidnapped a 6-year-old girl from a bus bench. She was waiting on her older sister, and he stuffed her into a laundry bag and took her away to another location where he molested her, and then he dropped her off at another different location. She survived, so that's good.
It's always good. What year was this?
1985. She was 6, so yeah, she would still be...
She'll be going, what would she be, in her 40s, 50s? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Early 50s?
No. 1985?
No. She would have been 15, coming into 2000.
Laura was born in 1986, I think. So she would be 30.
Oh my god, me going with 50s, lol.
Oh, she'd be in her 30s. Close to 40s.
Poor woman.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm going back to being quiet.
On the 11th of March, 1985, a 9-year-old boy was taken from his bed in the middle of the night, and Richard sexually abused him and then left him in a park nearby his home. On the 17th of March, 1985, so 6 days later, Richard attacked a 22-year-old woman, Maria Hernandez, outside her home. He shot her in the face with a .22 caliber handgun, but Maria, in shock, lifted her hands as he pulled the trigger, and she had her keys in her hand. So the bullet actually ricocheted off her keys, and Maria was smart enough to drop to the floor, pretending like she'd gotten shot in the face. She stayed perfectly still, held her breath, and waited for him to leave.
It's so fucking amazing. Anybody who can do that, well done. So,
like, I think I'd literally just stand in absolute shock.
Yeah.
I think, like, I'd be like, oh my god, was I not shot? And then he'd be like, you are now, bitch.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, oh my god.
Same.
Maria had a roommate called Dale Yoshi, and she was inside the house and she heard the gunshot. So she was, I think, like, from the descriptions and stuff of the house. So she parked her car, I believe, in the garage of the house. And as she was, like, pulling the garage door down, he slid under.
Ugh.
And so the door of the garage led into the kitchen. So when she heard the gunshot, Dale ducked behind the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
Almost where the door was. So, like, there was, like, the door and then the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
Like, along that wall. Say. Okay. So she ducked there where, like, she couldn't be seen.
Yeah.
And Richard entered the home. And unfortunately, Dale raised her head to see, like, if there was anybody in the house or who had entered. And Richard seen her and he shot her in the forehead, killing her instantly. That same night, Richard pulled Sai Lian Yu out of her car. And I'm so sorry if I'm saying these names wrong. She pulled over and he walked up to her, pulling her out of her car, told her, shut up, bitch, and then shot her several times with the handgun. She died in the hospital the next day. And after these attacks, Richard was described by the media as a curly-haired attacker with bulging eyes and wide-spaced rotten teeth. And they were calling him the walk-in killer and the valley intruder. On the 20th of March, 1985, an Eagle Rock girl was abducted and was sexually assaulted by Richard, who broke into her family home that night.
Ew.
Right? I'm not going to lie, I don't know what an Eagle Rock girl is, but I assume it's like... I was going to say, I presume it's like a cheerleader type person.
No, I think it's a place. I think Eagle Rock is a place.
Oh, okay. I don't know much about America, as you can tell. On the 27th of March, 1985... Richard broke into the home of Vincent Charles Zazara and his wife Maxine. At approximately 2 a.m, Richard broke in and shot Vincent, who was 64, in the head with a .22 caliber handgun whilst he slept. So, like, he just broke in, got into the bedroom and just immediately shot him in the head.
Pussy.
Obviously, this naturally woke Maxine. She was 44. Richard started beating her, bound her hands, and demanded to know where the valuables were. As Richard ransacked the room, Maxine broke free from the bounds and reached for the shotgun under the bed. But unfortunately, Vincent had removed the bullets from the shotgun because his grandkids were coming to visit. He wanted to be a good grandfather, and he didn't want them to get their hands on it and, like, accidentally shoot somebody.
Yeah.
And this was, like, the day before, so he hadn't put the bullets back in it yet. So, unfortunately, when Maxine went to shoot Richard, it just...
That just, like, breaks my heart.
Can you imagine, like...
The fear.
Your fear. Like, you think you've got him. You're like, haha, sayonara, bitch.
And then you don't.
And then you don't. Can you imagine, like, I think I'd just be like, well, fuck it, I'm dead now.
Yeah.
Like, so, naturally enough, Richard became absolutely enraged. And he shot her three times in the chest. Maxine died pretty much instantly, which I can say thank God for what he does next. Richard stabbed her in the face, and he stabbed her in one of her breasts, and he stabbed her in the pubic area and stomach and the neck.
Why?
Because he was in a fit of rage because she tried to shoot him.
Fucking Fanny, you ugly looking cuntcha.
Cry about it. Richard then gouged out her eyes and he put them in her jewellery box and then took the jewellery box with him. Now, Richard was stupid AF.
Yeah, and?
he left behind his AC/DC hat at the scene, which didn't help at the time, but would later on. And he also left a sneaker print in one of the bushes outside her house. The sneaker print will be found at every other crime scene.
So he wasn't at all careful?
No. Like, the sneaker, they knew what size and exactly what brand of sneaker this person wore.
I'm actually watching The Ripper on Netflix at the minute, and they're the exact same.
Don't, I'm only on, like, episode 2. My mother was like, I remember reading about that.
It's fucking wild.
It is wild.
Anyway, moving on, because we won't ruin it. We'll give you an update when we're done.
So, on May 14th, 1985, Richard broke into the house of Bill, 66. And Lillian, 56, Dewey, QAF.
Hmm.
Lillian was somewhat disabled, and she slept in a hospital bed in a different bedroom.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I say disabled, I mean, I think she had, like, something like scoliosis, or so she needed a hospital bed.
Yeah.
And that's why it was in a different room. And this dickhead comes in, and he shot Bill in the face in his bedroom. Now, Bill didn't immediately die, so Richard started beating him until he was unconscious. Bill then found Lillian, bound her to her hospital bed with thumb cuffs, and began to rape her.
Ugh.
Now, Bill, the superhero of all fucking time, came to and began to call 911 and placed a 911 call and then passed out again. And Richard, like, heard him make the 911 call, so he just, like, scattered and was like, shit. So Bill sadly died, but Lillian survived, and the police were like, if Bill hadn't called 911, Lillian wouldn't have. Like, the only reason Lillian survived was because her husband died to save her life.
I cannot. That breaks my heart. Like, that is just the best of humanity.
If Cottle doesn't die to save my life, I don't want it.
No, I wouldn't even, like... Like, one time a man walked into our house.
And Niall was just like, so...
Yeah, Niall was literally like, I'll show you the door. And this man is standing in the dark, in the sitting room, while I'm screaming my fucking lungs out. Niall was like, I will show you the door.
I'll show you the way.
Get up and punch him in the face. Give him a sucker. Is that a word?
Sure. I mean, to be fair to this, the man was stupid. But he was looking for the house next door. And it was like a viewing.
No, he was looking for the apartment downstairs, this asshole. And like, okay. So I'll quickie tell you the story.
I'll quickie do it. Quickie!
Me and Niall are sitting in the kitchen in our upstairs apartment. Niall is inquiring if periods are a monthly subscription.
They, sadly, are.
The whole apartment is in darkness apart from the kitchen that's at the very back at the bottom of a hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So say you walked up the stairs and you had to walk down a long hall to get down to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And all of the other rooms had the lights off. So as I'm answering Niall about his inquiry, I look up. And there's a man looking at me. I just see a pair of eyes just looking right at me. And as I open my mouth to scream, he walks into the kitchen. And I was like, ah! And then I took another breath and I was like, ah! Obviously freaked out.
Yeah.
And
it fucking would be.
Your man just stood there and was like, is this not number 30?
Does it look like it is?
The whole fucking apartment is in lockdown, you idiot. Get the fuck out of my house. And Niall didn't even, like, jump up or anything. He just said, I will show you to the door. I was like, hyper-fucking-ventilating. It was awful.
Megan thinking she's about to die, and Niall's just like, sup, man?
I literally thought that he was here to, like, rob us or kill us.
No, sir.
Tea, coffee, condoms.
It's like when I walked into your house, the door was open.
No. Oh, that's a bad... We did a bad move. Well, Niall did.
Niall went off to collect you from your mother's. And I was on my way down for recording.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when I arrive at Megan's house, I ring the doorbell and then I open the door. Because they're home, so the door is open. Because they know I'm coming. So I ring the doorbell just as a, like, I'm here.
Yeah.
And then, like, I walk in.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. Rang the doorbell. And then I walked in. And I was like, hi! And then I was like... where the fuck are they? So I like went into the sitting room and I was like, hi. Went into the kitchen, opened the back door to see like, because I couldn't even see the cat. And I was like, went upstairs and I was like, I'm really hoping I'm not doing it up here. That's why they don't hear me. And then like, I was like, what the fuck? And then you were like, we'll be there in a second. And I was like, lol, I am in your home. And Niall just was like, oopsie.
Yeah, he forgot to lock the door.
And he literally was like, lol. And I was like, you're fucking blessed it was me.
And I wouldn't mind. I'm literally 30 seconds away from my mother. Like a 30 second walk. Like, it's not even funny.
But you were just like, I had a lot to eat that day. Come collect me. Yeah.
All the time.
And that's it. I literally was like, oh my god, we just fucking broke into their home.
Eh.
Niall was blessed it was me though that day. And not that man. Back for round two.
That fucking freak.
Anyways, on the 29th of May 1985, Richard broke into the home of 83-year-old Mabel Ma Bell. What a cute nickname.
Mm.
And her 81-year-old friend, Florence Nettie Lang. Now, one report said that Nettie was disabled. I don't know if she was or not. Just, it wouldn't surpass his huge victim. Yeah. These are, can I just say, these are women are queens. So Richard entered the home and found a hammer. And what he decided to do was that he was going to bludgeon both women. So he went into Ma's room, bludgeoned her, then went into Nettie's room and bludgeoned her. Then went back into Mabel's room, seeing that she was still alive. So what he decided to do was get the wires from a lamp. So her bedside lamp, he like opened up the wires, you know, like to the live wire.
Yeah.
And started to shock her with them, like the asshole that he is. Richard then raped both women, and then he got lipstick and he drew a pentagram on Mabel's inner thigh. This asshole then sat down, had a can of soda, two bananas, and used their toilet. And dickhead Richard over here, good old dick, didn't even flush the toilet. Like you a know true what? Man.
I bet you he eats the stringy bits off bananas and the black bits too.
Oh, yeah, he's a freak like that.
Yeah.
And not in a sexy freak way.
No.
In a, you're nasty.
In a, you should die in a hallway.
Yeah. Good old dick. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. Dick. These absolute queens were not found for 3 days. And when they were found, they were alive.
Yes.
They held on for someone to find them. So a handyman was to call to the house and he didn't call until 3 days later.
Yeah.
And they were both alive. Now, they did unfortunately later die from their injuries.
Okay.
But queens held on till they were found.
Yeah.
Like.
Love it.
Yes. You go. I'm sorry you died. On the 30th of May, so the next day, 1985, Richard broke into the house of 42-year-old Carol Kyle. At gunpoint, he bound her and raped her repeatedly. Carol survived her attack and when questioned, described Richard as good looking, but he smelt like wet leather.
Ew. Like, ew.
Wet leather reminds me of wet dog. It's nasty. I mean, right, if he wasn't so scrawny from all of his drugs, and if he didn't have halitosis and had all of his teeth, he would have been good looking.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he was ugly as sin.
Oh no, he was because he like was a crackhead. Like, he had the appearance of a crackhead.
Yeah.
But if he didn't take drugs, that jawline. Like, if he was a little bit, like, a little more plump, had all of his teeth.
No, I don't. I just don't.
Wasn't a rapist and a murderer.
Yeah. No, I just don't think so. I don't know. Not for me.
I think sometimes it's hard to see because you're like, you asshole.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Not for me.
Anyway, he wasn't done that night. He then broke into the home of Harold and Jean Wu. He shot Harold in the head while he slept, and Jean was bound and badly beaten. Richard then proceeded to rape her, but he didn't kill her. And, like, in years later after he was caught in that, he was asked, like, why did you leave some of your victims alive? And he said it's because it felt like it gave him power. He was in control of whether you lived or died.
Well, wow, so cool, so edgy, bro.
Edgelord. Richard broke into the home of 41-year-old widow Ruth Wilson in the middle of the night. Sorry, I forgot to say, when I was doing my research, there was conflicting dates on some of it.
Okay.
So I just didn't want to put down any date because it was conflicting. And so if I just don't mention a date, that's because it was multiple dates. And I was like, I don't know which one's right.
Okay.
So he broke into the home of 41-year-old widow Ruth Wilson in the middle of the night. Richard found her 12-year-old son and used him to get Ruth to show Richard where all the valuables were, like the classy guy that he is. And when he got all the valuables, he tied the boy up and he put him in a closet. And he then raped Ruth, hit her with a knife in the, I think it was in the temple. And then he bound her to the son and fled the scene, leaving them both alive. So after he fled the scene, Ruth's son got free and she was like, go get help.
Yeah, of course.
Then on June 2nd, 1985, Richard shot and killed Edward Vieldkins, who was 21. Richard then beat and raped Edward's girlfriend, but left her alive. I think he met them on the street, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And just was like, pow. Richard attempted to break into the house that he saw, but he saw that the man was awake and cleaning his gun. So he was like, hi, baddies. He likes them to be asleep and vulnerable and unaware. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, because he's a fucking crackhead.
Yep. He then went on to try and attempt to kidnap a young girl, but the young girl started to scream, so someone called 911. So once again, he bailed. He got into a stolen car and he ran a red light. A police officer pulled him over because he ran a red light. And the police officer noticed that he happened to match the description of the person who just tried to kidnap a little girl
right.
a few blocks away.
Mm-hmm. And so he got him, right? He arrested him, didn't he?
This dumbass officer. Sorry, sometimes I'm like, I'm amazed at people.
Yeah.
This officer turned around and was like, hey, you're not that guy breaking into people's homes and murdering them, are you? Lol, JK.
Oh, you got me.
And Richard responded, no way, man. When are you gonna catch that motherfucker? The cop was like, ah. And then turned around back to his car to, like, you know, call into the station that he'd pulled someone over for a red light and the vehicle type. And because obviously they were looking for somebody. And as the cop is doing this, Richard hops out of the car, draws a pentagram on the hood of the car and dashes the fuck away.
Like, I just love that he had all of that time.
Right? I was like, what the fuck? What is the police officer doing? Filing his fucking nails? Like, bruh, get with it. On the 27th of June, 1985, Richard slit the throat of Patty Elaine Higgins while she slept, and he slit her throat from ear to ear.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Then, on the 2nd of July, 1985, Richard randomly picked the home of 75-year-old Mary Louise Cannon. He broke in, and he beat her unconscious with a lamp from her bedside locker. And he then stabbed her repeatedly with a 10-inch butter knife.
A fucking butter knife.
Like, what an asshole. Mary was pronounced dead at the scene. Can you imagine the pain of that?
Yeah.
I feel like a sharp knife would almost be somewhat better, because with a butter knife, you'd really have to force that in.
Stop it. Stop. Can't.
Saz. On July 5th, 1985, Richard broke into the bedroom of 16-year-old Whitney Bennett. Her parents were asleep in the bedroom next door. So Dick over here hit Whitney in the head with a tire iron and knocked her unconscious. Like, she was asleep, but, like, he knocked her unconscious with the tire iron so she wouldn't wake.
Wow.
And then he began to rape her and fled the scene. Whitney ended up needing 478 stitches in her head from the attack. But thankfully survived.
Good.
Near 500 stitches. Like, he must have given her some hit.
Yeah.
On the 6th of July, 1985, Richard broke into the home of 61-year-old Lucille Nelson. He found her asleep on her couch and he actually just began beating her and kicking her. He actually kicked her in the head so hard he left a footprint on her face. That same night, Richard attacked 63-year-old Linda Fortana. At about 3 a.m, Richard held a gun to Linda's head and woke her from a deep sleep. He held his hand over her mouth and said, make a sound and I'll kill you. He ordered her into the bathroom while he ransacked the house and then brought Linda back into the bedroom, put a glove in her mouth and put a pillow over her face and attempted to rape her. However, Dick couldn't get the dick up.
Oh, yeah.
On the 20th of July, 1985, Richard broke into the home of Chete Asahuam. Richard shot him immediately with a .2 caliber handgun, and his wife was then badly beaten and raped. Richard then found their 8-year-old son. This one's especially bad, okay? And then after that, they're bad, but he saw their 8-year-old son and he decided to rape the 8-year-old son with a bottle of baby oil. Like an absolute. There are no words.
No words.
Afterwards, he demanded the woman tell him where their money was, and she said that she swore, he was like, where's all your money? And she swore to God that they had no money. But this actually made him really angry, and he wanted her to swear to Satan. So then he raped her again, and then left. So he left them alive. He killed the husband, but left her alive. She stated to police that he is dangerous beyond words. So brutal, so mean, so cruel. His eyes were like an animal's, not human.
Ugh.
And I don't blame her for feeling that way after what he did to her son.
I can't even, let's move on, because I can't even bear thinking about that.
Well, that same night, Richard brought a machete to the home of Maxon and Leela Nighting. He broke into the couple's bedroom and hacked them with the hatchet. He then shot them both in the head and then mutilated both their bodies and robbed the house. So at this point, gun sales were at an all-time high and people were sleeping with all sorts of weapons beside their beds. They started sleeping with all the windows closed and even, like, all doors, all windows, all everything locked. And it was a record-breaking summer that year, so they were like, I'm dying, but it's worth it because otherwise I'll actually die.
Yeah.
So on the 6th of August 1985, Richard broke into the home of Chris and Virginia Peterson. He crept into the bedroom while they slept and shot Virginia in the face. He then shot Chris in the temple. Chris fought back and actually managed to miss some more shots that Richard was doing, and Richard managed to flee the scene. The couple survived and actually were able to give the police a good description of him.
Good. I love that.
I mean, how the fuck they survived being shot in the face in temple, I will never know, but I'm glad they did. On August 8th, 1985, Robert... Why did I write Robert there? I think I did this last time as well. Honestly, I don't know why I wrote Robert, but I did. Richard broke into the home of Elias and Sakina Abawath. He immediately killed Elias by shooting him in the head. He then handcuffed and beat Sakina and forced her to tell him where all of the valuables were. He then brutally raped her. Their 3-year-old son walked in and Richard tied him and continued with Sakina. Sakina later untied the son and sent him to get help after Richard left. And after this attack, this is when he became known as the Night Stalker.
Right.
So they were like, okay, he's not just a walk-in killer, like, let's step it up a little, because he's stepping it up a little. So shortly after this, a press conference was held by Frank Salerno, who was the chief on the case. And if you don't know who Frank Salerno is, he is actually a big-ass detective in the 80s. I think he caught several, like... serial killers. Yeah. So, and he's one of the police officers that caught the Night Stalker, so good on him.
Yeah.
He had been going down to Skid Row to get descriptions and match all the footprints to every attack. So he'd go down to Skid Row and be like, so, like, who's fishy around here? Like, yeah. Come on, like, give it up. And then he was like, you do realise that the same footprint is at every single attack.
Mm.
And they were like, oh my god, lol.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, you do know, like, the brand print is, like, in the footprint.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my god, you're so good at this! Tell me your secrets! He's like, I'm just paying attention. So, he said in a press conference that everyone should lock all their doors and make sure that they all have weapons by their bed. He then sent sketches around to newspapers and to all the police stations. And Richard had been following the media coverage and knew that his sketches were everywhere. So he decided to leave LA for San Francisco. So, whilst in San Francisco, Richard broke into the home of Peter and Barbara Pan. He shot Peter in the temple while he slept, and he then viciously beat and raped Barbara, and then shot her in the face, leaving her for dead. He drew a pentagram on the wall and wrote Jack the Knife in lipstick, and it's unclear why he wrote Jack the Knife. I think it was from, like, some Edgelord song.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's unclear on if Barbara actually died or not. He just left her for dead, but I do presume she died.
Okay, right. And also, we picked up on this last time. The guy's name is Peter Pan.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's a sick-ass name. The shoe at the scene of the crime did match with the shoes in LA. So the San Francisco officials were dumb. Were just plain-ass dumb. And told the media about it. And this actually really enraged the LAPD because they knew Richard was following the news. Like,
yeah.
They were like, he's following media coverage.
Yeah, because he loves himself.
Yeah. And then San Francisco were like, hey, media! And the media did report about the type of shoe that was found at all the crime scenes. So, following this, Richard immediately threw his shoes over the Golden Gate Bridge and returned to LA.
Of course he did.
With a brand new fucking pair of shoes that weren't the same brand that he normally wore. When Richard returned to LA, he tried to break into the home of James Romero. The family had just returned from a holiday, and James's 13-year-old son was actually still awake and heard Richard outside. So he went in and woke his parents, being like, someone's like outside scaling the house. And James got up and scared Richard off. But James followed him a little, like, you know, chasing him down the road, and he was actually able to get a partial plate number and saw the make and model and colour and all of the car that he was driving.
Mm-hmm.
So he rang the police with the information. Now, at the time, James just assumed that it was just an ordinary thief because they'd been away on holidays.
Mm.
So he was like, it's probably someone that just knew that we were away on holidays and didn't expect us back.
Yeah.
Yet, so, like, you know. Later that night, Richard broke into the home of engaged couple Bill Cairns and Inez Erickson. He snuck into the bedroom and shot Bill 3 times in the face. He then told Inez that he was the Night Stalker. So, he started off by saying, quote, you know who I am, don't you? I'm the one they're writing about in the newspapers and on TV. He then made her swear to Satan and beat her. He tied her up with neckties and raped her and made her say that she loves Satan as he did so. And as he left, like, he was like, okay, got what I needed, was on his way out, turned to Inez and said, tell them the Night Stalker was here.
What a fucking key bag. I can't even get into it because I'm like...
angry.
Yeah.
Beyond words. Bill actually managed to survive his attack, and Inez was able to give a very detailed description of Richard because he left her alive.
Yeah.
And had, like, a conversation with her.
Of course.
So she was like, yes, and this is exactly what he looks like and what he was wearing. So now police had a very clear description of the Night Stalker. They were able to get a mould of the shoe print at James Romero's home. And police then found the stolen car from the description and found a partial fingerprint that actually identified Richard. Because he had been arrested from different crimes, like, in between all of this. Because he was, like, robbing cars and shit like that.
Yeah.
So then they finally found his fingerprint and were able to match it. And then were able to match it with the first murder.
Yeah.
A friend of Richard's, Donna, said that one night she was watching telly with him and a sketch of the Night Stalker appeared on the TV and he asked, hey Donna, do you think I'm the Night Stalker? And she replied, hell no, Rick, you ain't got enough guts to kill anybody.
Oi.
But then he wouldn't let it go and asked her, aren't you afraid of being alone with me?
Okay.
And yeah, aren't you afraid of being alone with me in the house? I mean, I am now, bitch.
Yeah.
Why would you... get the fuck out of my house! And then he asked her, Donna, what would you do if you broke into a home and people were home? Would you kill them? And she was like, oh no.
Wouldn't do it in the first place, but okay.
Yeah. So then on the 29th of August 1985, Donna's daughter brought jewellery to the police station, saying them that she had gotten them from a guy named Rick who stayed with her mom sometimes. So then they were interviewing Donna, and Donna eventually gave Richard's name to help with their investigation. Because she was like, well, because she didn't know it was him at first. So she was like, what? And then kind of, you know, thought back to him being weird, being like, hey, do you think I'm a Night Stalker?
Yeah.
But why don't you think I'm the Night Stalker? I'm the Night Stalker. So she was like, okay, yeah, Richard Ramirez is his name. So at this point, police have released Richard's mugshot to all the media. It has appeared in every news station on the Friday night, and on the Saturday morning, it appeared in every newspaper. The police released a statement saying, we know who you are now, and soon everyone else will. There will be nowhere for you to hide.
Yes.
Get it, bitch. On the 30th of August, 1985, Richard took a bus to visit his brother in Tucson, Arizona. unbeknownst to him that his mugshot was being plastered everywhere. So he was like, I'm going to go on a little trip. And the media were like, it's Richard Ramirez. He ended up not meeting his brother. So he decided to get back on the bus and return to LA the next day. Now, again, dumbass police being dumbasses. Mm. We're sketching out the bus terminal and ended up letting Richard Ramirez walk past them. Like, they didn't even know he walked past them.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Richard then decided to stop in a convenience store to pick up a copy of LA Opinion and see. And what's this? His mugshot is on the front page. And he's like, fuck. So he starts to panic a little. And as he's trying to leave the store, two elderly women notice him and started screaming, El Matador! El Matador! Which means the killer. So he was like, oh shit. And like everyone in the shop was like,
oh my god.
Oh fuck. So he decided to run for 4 miles through back streets and alleys, stopping a couple of times to try and attempt to like jack some cars, but he was not having any luck. At this point, his luck has officially run out.
Yes. I love this. Oh my god, yes. Come on, hit me with it.
This is like the best part of the story. No, maybe it's the letter he receives in prison. I can't decide. He tried to carjack a young woman, and as she ran screaming, a 53-year-old neighbour saw and tackled Richard to the ground. The woman's husband then came running out of the house with a steel rod and began to hit him over the head with it. As Richard attempted to flee, like, the whole fucking community, like, all the neighbours came out and, like, ran after him.
Yes, yes.
And we're like, get the fuck back here. They managed to catch up with him and they all began beating the shit out of him.
Oh god, what I would do for just one kick.
Lol to Richard, as the police arrived, he turned to the officer and said, thank god you came.
Yeah, thank god. Okay. Okay.
Where's your Satan now, Richard? Where's Lucifer? Doesn't want to see you.
Lucifer's downstairs, like, filing his nails, like, ain't nothing to do with me.
I did not tell you to kill nobody. You ain't blaming me for this. One of the officers later said that if they hadn't arrived when they did, that the mob would have killed him.
They should have let them. They should have, like, stopped to get a coffee.
So, I mean, in one sense, I get it. You don't want to have to arrest any of the mob.
But, I mean, nobody would know what the final... Who did the final punch, or... Yeah. You can't arrest them all, can you? Well, I suppose you could, but, like, it'd be worth it. I'd do time for that. Like I said, what I'd give.
I'd rather he do time, though. And he does.
In a coma.
At his first court appearance, he drew a pentagram on his palm of his hands. And you'd know the famous photo of him, like, grinning, being like,
yeah.
Hail Satan. And that's actually what he would yell sometimes. Like, just at random times throughout his trial. He'd just be like, Hail Satan!
Oh my god, me would cry about it.
Like, literally, like, what? And he was loving the attention. Like, he'd turn around and he'd start smiling at, like, the media. And then bitch got groupies.
Why? Why did he have groupies and Bundy and Manson and... I guess, I don't know.
He started dating Dorian Loy, who was an editor of, like, some fancy magazine. And she wrote to him upwards of 75 letters. Like, girl.
Betcha she was sending him nudies.
Oh, the shams. The pair eventually got married in 1996. And she claimed that when they would execute him, because he was sent to the death penalty. So she claimed that when they were going to execute him, she would commit suicide. But shockingly, they separated before that could happen.
What? Just in time?
I'd say she was like, oh fuck, I can't go through with that. I'm gonna have to leave you.
Actually, yeah, you're kind of a dick, so...
I'm just... No. On the 20th of September 1989, Richard was convicted of 13 counts of murder, 5 counts of attempted murder, 11 counts of sexual assault, and 14 burglaries. Because that's all that they could prove.
Mm.
So obviously there is more in there, but that's all that they had on him.
Yeah.
He was sentenced to death by gas chamber on the 7th of November 1989. And when this happened, he smirked, turned to the camera and said, "Big deal. Death always went with the territory. See you in Disneyland."
Oh my god, I'm so edgy and cool because I'm making Disneyland out to be like a weird, like, not fun place when it's supposed to be like fun and innocent, but I'm trying to make it like not innocent, so you should be scared of me.
If death was always part of the deal, then why were you thankful that the police came and saved your life from the mob?
Oh yeah, bitch.
Dumbass. So at one point, Richard was in the same jail as actor Sean Penn. If you know Sean Penn,
yeah,
he was in prison because he like attacked like someone on set of a movie. Because right. I think Sean Penn's meant to be a bit of a dick.
Not cool.
Yeah. But he is very, very cool here. So Richard wrote Sean a letter saying, "Hey Sean, stay tough. Hit them again. Richard Ramirez, 666. So edgy.
Wow.
So Sean actually responded, and it's the best response in the world. So it goes, "You know, Richard, it's impossible to be incarcerated and not feel a certain type of friendship with other inmates." And friendship is like, you know, like a bond.
Yeah.
That they have, just in case you're wondering, because I didn't know either. It's hard not to feel a certain friendship with other inmates. "Well, Richard, I have done the impossible. I feel absolute no friendship with you. I hope gas descends on you before sanity does." He just got burned by Sean Penn.
I want to be burned by Sean Penn before I die.
I want to be many things by Sean Penn before he may be an asshole, but he's a sexy one at that.
He is a bit sexy, yeah. He is very sexy.
Yeah. So, on the 7th of June 2003, Richard died from liver failure due to B-cell lymphoma. He also had chronic substance abuse and chronic hepatitis C and viral infections. So, he was very unwell. At this point, he had spent 23 years in prison.
That's as long as I'm alive. And I feel like also that's a long enough time to be in prison before you die of like a slow, painful death.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that he died in prison, but I'm also glad he had like a long period there.
Yeah, same.
This is why I think I don't like the death penalty. I'd like them to die a slow, painful death from something as horrible as cancer.
Yeah.
But, like, have to spend years in there first before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's Richard Ramirez, guys. Why did I say it like that?
Ramirez.
That's been Richard Ramirez. So, thank you for listening. This is our last time recording before we head into the new year.
If I don't lose the file. If I lose this file.
You're not getting an episode, lads.
Yeah.
I'm not recording it three times.
Yeah, so
I thought I was done with them.
Yeah,
so we thoroughly hope you enjoyed this episode. Happy New Year, everybody.
Don't forget to have a little tipple at New Year's. Don't forget to text your loved ones.
Yeah.
Because you can't be with them right now. No. I feel that.
Yeah. And 2020 has been an extremely shit year for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like nothing terrible happened to me. It's just been a really shit year.
I had to work from home, so...
That's really shit.
It's shit, but it's good.
It's good, but it's tough.
It's good, but it's tough.
So, I really hope 2021 brings a lot more joy to everybody.
Yeah.
And even though you're getting this the week of New Year's, it is not the week of New Year's for us. So, happy New Year's.
Don't forget to open your front door and to open your back door for a few minutes to let 2020 out and let 2021 in.
And then immediately lock them again.
Yeah. Straight away. Straight away. Like, just give it enough time for it to quickly pass through the house.
Yeah, and then just, like, off you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. We have been Give Us Morgue. If you have any inquiries of any kind, any suggestions of who you'd like to see, you can always email us at giveusmorgue@gmail.com, or you can go to the website www.giveusmorgue.com, and if you feel like it, you can follow us over on social media. Both Twitter and Instagram are at giveusmorgue, and if you want to see who you're listening to, you can always follow our own personal Instagrams, which is at @MegPyle_ and @Mrs_Neve. And hey, happy fucking New Year.
Happy fucking New Year. Oh yeah, and I'm sorry that I sound super nasally. I'm not COVID. I just have a head cold.
I'm not COVID. I too have a head cold. And again, I am not COVID. It's December, guys, okay? Ireland gets very fucking cold.
We also fucking, like that, we pass the cold around. I get sick every single year, and isn't even the worst that I've been sick.
No.
Like, last year, I couldn't even speak. I was on the phone to customers, and I was, like, sniffling and crying, you know, when you're, like, sick and you're, like, crying. And customers were like, oh my god, are you sick? Should you be working? And I was like, I have Lemsip, it's fine.
I have Lemsip. It's grand. Yeah, so we're gonna go on the trip phase now.
Whoop whoop! Alright, peace out, y'all.
Bye!
Bye!
See you next year.
My best to stop it.
This one?
No.
This one?
No, square.
This one?